Masechet Shabbat, Daf Kuf Mem Chet. We start at the bottom of Kuf Mem Zayin. So Mishnah says about Ein Machshir Hashevet. Mishnah says that if a person's bone is broken over, you can't put it back in its place. So Aruch Chalav Badat Amar Shmuel. So Lacha Machshir Hashevet. He says in Amar Shmuel, the Loch is that you Machshir Hashevet, right? And so Shmuel has a different girsa over here. Shmuel says that you do Machshir. So the Gemara over here that he says Amar Rabbi Chana Badat Amar Shmuel. Rashi says, Yasvir le Shmuel Machzirin Tanan. Shmuel had a version, according to Rashi, that it was the Mishnah said Machzirin, not Eino Machzirin. So now the Gemara gives us like a bit of a story, a bit of a colored story, a peppered story. It could have been said as much simpler, but you see, it puts a bit of drama into the situation and says that he came to Pumpedita, lo al lepir kaid Rav Yehuda. He never went to Rav Yehuda's shir. Yehuda was the gadol there in Pumpedita. He never went, Rav, they went to his shir. So now, Shadrei la adedaila. So Rav Yehuda sent to him, look at Rashi there, a memune, right? A minstrel, like an official. Right? He sent an official to go and collect, to get Rav Baruch Hanna to come to the shir. Right? So Amar le zil garbe. What does Rashi explain garbe? Yeah? Kach big do ad shavu. Take a guarantor. Don't rely on him. Grab his cloak. And until he comes, when he comes, give him back his cloak. Right? So now he had no choice over Baruch Hanna. Right? So Atta, he came. Rabbi said, Rashi said, Atta, Lashkechei Rabbi Yehuda, he came to Rabbi Yehuda. Right? The Kadosh. And what does he hear there? He finds Ashkechei the Kadosh. He hears there as he arrives at Rabbi Yehuda's darshaning. Ein machzir et hashever. You can't put back the shever, like our version of the Mishnah. So Amarle, so he says to Rabbi Yehuda, he said, one second, Hachi Amar Rav Chana Baghdad, Amar Shmuel. We got a story here that Rav Chana from Baghdad, right? Chana Baghdad, right? The Baghdadian said in the name of Shmuel, Halacha Machshir et Hashever. So now Rabbi Yehuda gets excited. He is now from Rabbi Bar Chana in the name of Shmuel, and he says that Rav Chana Baghdad, right? So he says over here, he says, Amarle, Ha Chana, this Chana, Rav Chana Baghdad, Didan, he's Chana Didan, he's one of us, the Babylonian from Baghdad, right? Vahashmuel Didan, Shmuel, also one of us, also a Babylonian. In other words, he's not an Eretz Yisrael Amora, he has a Babylonian Talmud. Velo Shmueli, I never knew this, I never heard of it. He says to Rabbi Baruch Hanna, Velav Bedina Gavartich, you see, it wasn't style that I took your jacket and made you come. Imagine if you hadn't come, I would have heard the shir. So now the girl, that was the end of that one. The girl was like this Mishan Ifrika Yadu. We saw that if a person's hand is dislocated. So we saw that Lord Trafa that you can't rub the hot water or the water on it. But if you rub, you just pour water cold as it is, and if it works, it works. So Rab Avya Habayatib Kamet Rab Yosef, Shani Le Yada, his hand dislocated. So Amale Hachimai, he saw him all different ways. He said, Hachimai, Amale Asu. In the meantime, Madahachi said, Gemara Itpach Yada, his hand sorted itself out. So Amalei, Maiti Bayelach. He said, I don't understand. What was your question? Hatzal, we got a Mishnah for Eshet. Mishnah for Kayado or Aglo Loitrafem. But Tzon Navar, Rochetz Kedag, Rib Rabbeinu Tepet. The Mishnah says, straight out. If your leg or your hand goes dislocated, you can't rub water, but you just put the water on it in a calm way. And if it gets healed, it gets healed. What was your question to me? So he says, no, Amalei, Velot, the Mishnah also say, Ein Machzir Hashever, but you can't back the Shever. So he was concerned over here. Maybe not putting back the Shever was like overriding the Aloch. So he says to him, So but you can't put it back. So what do you think? It's all one big bunch of laws, all exactly the same. And therefore he stayed fit in his aloha. Rav Rashi says the hechad itmar de matnitin lav dafke tnan itmar. If it's like we saw in our Mishnah, we might have been a little bit different. So it would depend each case according to its own set of circumstances. Adran lachavit, adran lachavit, adran lachavit. Okay, now we start the 23rd parak of Shabbos. The 24 prakim. So on the second last parak of Shabbos. And this Mishnah is discussing a couple of things which intuitively you might have thought are asur on Shabbos. Okay? And yeah, the Mishnah is telling us that they're actually mutar. But there's certain ways to do things. In other words, everything's very detailed. Okay? The technicalities, the devil is in the detail. The question here is how you say things. So the Mishnah says, Sho'er adam mechavero kadayan v'kadashem v'vashlo yomu lo halvini. You can borrow a barrel of wine or barrel of oil from your neighbor, but you can't use the lashon halvini. right? Talvini is a business term, like a halva'a, like a loan, like make a loan to me. We'll see in the Gemara why. Right? Rashi's explaining, we'll see in the Gemara why. What the difference that Lashon is. The woman can also borrow bread from her neighbors, from her friends. She can borrow bread. Come Shabbos, you've got to make lechem mishneh. You arrive at the table on Shabbos for Siddur Shlishis, you haven't got lechem mishneh. So what did you go? Your neighbor, you're not going to borrow the bread from you. No problem. Borrow the bread. But now listen, the Mishnah says like this. Vim eino ma'amino. Now what happens about all these things? That your neighbor doesn't trust you. Or you want to borrow a barrel of wine or milk or honey. They ask, listen, I've got a bad history with you. You've ever borrowed things, you never paid them back. So it's no problem. He says, "Meniach talito etzlo, v'notel." Sorry. Im enu mamino, meniach talito etzlo, v'osemo cheshbon lachar Shabbat. And after Shabbos, come and do a deal. Now, I said this morning, the afternoon shiur that I gave before Mincha. I remember as a kid coming with my father to Jerusalem. There used to be a shop in Yafo Street, and if you came down Corner King George in Yafo, you go right down Yafo close to the Kotel, about three or four shops on the left hand side. There used to be a restaurant over there. I don't know if you remember this. It was open on Shabbos. I remember. You could go there, you could buy tickets before Shabbos. And you come here to get a meal on Shabbos. Just to go there, get lunch, big smorgasbord type of thing there. Like a delicatessen type of eating house. You know, not anything fancy, but good home-cooked meal. And we arrived there one year, my father and I, we came there for Shabbos, and we hadn't bought the tickets. And my father left his passport there. And we came back on the Sunday and paid. Got our passport back. This is this Mishnah over here. This is the Mishnah. Right? It says you leave your cloak there. You come back to Cheshbon Shabbos. V'chein erev Pesach b'Yerushalayim shechaliyot b'Shabbat. And so too, let's say that Pesach Motzei Shabbos. Now you want a Korban Pesach. You want to go to Korban Pesach. And you arrived in Jerusalem erev Shabbos. Now you got to go find a Korban Pesach. You buy your Korban Pesach. And you meniach talito etzlo v'lotela pischo. You leave a jacket there, some sort of deposit. You take your Pesach. V'osemo Cheshbon l'achar yom tov. Now I've got a difficulty with Rashi over here. Rashi says, "Lachar Yom Tov leYom Shlishi." I don't know what Yom Shlishi is, because if it's Tuesday, if Yom Shlishi is Tuesday here, then it means that during the time of Beit Hamikdash, there is 2 days Yom Tov, because you'd come and buy your korban on Shabbos, and then Sunday, Monday would be Yom Tov, and on Tuesday you come and pay for your korban. Unless Yom Shlishi means on the third day, so Shabbos is the first day, Pesach is on the Sunday, is the second day. And on Monday, you come on the third day and pay. That might be, otherwise, Rashi is difficult Rashi. What do you want to say, Daniel?
I think, isn't there a commonality? I think we learned a little while ago with the jackets that you can ask people to help you if your house is burning. And then, if a imbu bekach or selo
cheshbon. So, that was a little bit different. There you come and get, there it just happens to be, I think it's a coincidence that it's a jacket. There we said that if you ask to bring down, get guys to come and help you and they can carry out the clothes for themselves. If the guy's clever, oftentimes he'll make you pay him for his work. He has a little bit of, here your jacket is the guarantee, you have to the deposit. You come with a nice fancy jacket and you want to buy a cow. Mm. So you leave your jacket there, you buy the goat, and you come back on Shabbos, you get your goat back. You get your cow, your jacket back. That's what we're talking about. Okay. So now, so he said, okay, the Gemara says like this, Amalei Rabbi Baruch Hanan Labaya, Ma Shnai Hashilani U Ma Shnai Halvini. What's the difference in this Lashon here between, the Mishnah is very particular and says, use the word Lashil and not Lalvot. So I don't understand, what's the difference? The Rashi over here, that's not marked in Rabbach, is Halvini Mashmin Lezman Merube, says, from Masechet Makot. When you say Halvini, it sounds like a long time. And Stam Halva'ah is for 30 days. The Gemara says there, that a Stam Halva'ah, you borrow money from somebody without a contract, so I want, lend me money, please. It's assumed that you're lending it for 30 days. The guy comes up to find someone, money back, say, what are you talking about? So I never said limit time. The halacha is tam halva'ah 30 yom. Okay? He says, that's halva'ah. Va'ate mal bezeh lichtov ha'pikashon. The guy will come and write down things. Kach v'kach hilviti l'kdash l'kdash. You will see in the Gemara that the concern here is that you're going to write on Shabbos if you use the word halvini. If you say tashil, it's not going to write things down. The Gemara says, "U'mai shna halvini, amar ha'shteni lo ati lebichtav." So if you say hashili, you won't come to rat. The Gemara says, "What are you talking about? Halvini, but halvini at lebichtav, he will come to rat." Gemara says, "I don't understand." But Kevin de bechol zimni de bay lemeimar lehalvini v'amar hashili ani v'lo kapid ilavayv at lebichtav. But Shabbos, I don't understand. But that term halvini and hashil are interchangeable even during the week. Some say to a guy, "Lend me," and some say, "Can I borrow?" Like, English is not so simple. I mean, English is the same word. Right? In English, the same word. Hey, Mark. In English, the same word. In Hebrew, it's a different word. In Hebrew, it's la'avot and la'ashil, like different words. So the understanding is that la'avot is something more permanent. But the Gemara is saying, what are you talking about? Even during the week, sometimes the guy says Tashil, sometimes the guy says Talveh. And if we're not worried about him writing then, we're not worried about him writing then. If we are worried about him writing when he says Talveh, we should worry about him writing when he says Tashil as well. Because it's the same word. That's a Gemara's question, right? So he says, Bashar, it's Amalei, so he answered him. And this Abaya is saying like this. He says, Bashabat, Kevan da Hashilani, hu de Shal Rabbanan, Halvin lo Shal Rabbanan, Minkra milta velo atle milta. He says, no, you might be right. But because Chachamim were very makpid about the words, the choice of words, so that helps. Because we know now from a halachic point of view, that the word Lashil is mutar. If a guy says to you, Tashil, you'll know not to write things down. Okay, it's a bit more what's the word we're looking for? Subconscious, right? So that's what he's answered. Now, Rav Hanan Labaya says, "Michtam Rabbanan kol midi de yom tov kamad efshal shlim shaninan." He says, "We know we got a halacha," and he quotes over here and Masechet Beitza. He says that Chaim said that on Yontif, then lots of Yontif Mutar, one should still try and do whatever he can with the shinui, right? So I don't understand that. Now I'm asking you a question. We're a bit sidetracking now from our Gemara. So if you should do things with a shinui, he says, how come, hani nashe, de malian chatzvayu maya, my time lo meshanin? We've got these women, right? And you can see the time of Chazal, obviously the women were the ones who were filling up the water, right? Like with Rachel, with Rivka, I mean, with, you know, when Eliezer went to find a wife for Yitzchak, he arrived, he went to the well. Why did he go to the well? That's where the well women hang out. The girls hang out at the well. That was their job, right? They used to fill up the well with the shepherds, they filled up water. So yeah, if a woman's meant to fill up her barrel, her water on Shabbos, on Yontif, so how come we don't make him do with a shinui? So he says to him, but it's pashut, why mishum de lo efshar? Because you can't do it. Hey, he loved it. What would you want them to do? The malian b'chatzva rava, if they would generally use a big barrel and you said to them, limlu b'chatzva zutta, use a small one, it's a problem. What's the problem? Akamafshu b'ilucha, you end up having to do lots of more trips. And if they would normally do malian b'chatzva zutta with a big, with a small one, now you say limlu b'chatzva rava, so what's the problem now? Kama fashu b'masu, you're not going to carry a lot more. It's no longer oneg yontif. I mean, look, it's not nice. V'im, and I added the v'im here, and if, nifros sudra, if you'd say to them, they should like put some sort of a covering over it or whatever, so then, atli de schita, look at Rashi there, they'd come to, the Kutta Rashi over here, he says, "Kalhu ve'enu machbid v'shanui ba'amuhu v'latznia." And they put some sort of cover over. Okay, so he says that could then the water would end up soaking through it, and they could end up squeezing the water out. He says, "Im nichsaye b'nichum." Maybe they put a cover on, like not a fabric cover, like some sort of cover. He says, "Then if it was a more permanent type of cover," so he says over there, "Hilchach lo zimni de mifsak." It might like break, whatever. But atle mikta, and they end up making knots. Hilchach lo efshar. It's not possible. He says another halacha. He says more to him. He says to him like this: "We got Rabbi to Abaya. We learned in the Mishnah, lo mesapkinan, v'lo metapchin, v'lo merakdim b'yom tov. You shouldn't clap." Rashi says clap kaf al kaf. I don't know if you've ever seen, but I remember Adin Yeshiva, there were guys used to like clap like this. Ever seen where you clap like this on Shabbos Yom Tov, like with a backhanded clap, like a bit of a shinoi? Because the Mishnah, you shouldn't do this, right? V'lo metapchin, you shouldn't clap on your chest either, right? You shouldn't dance. Look at Rashi. Why shouldn't you dance? He says, "Lesimcha for simcha." But time mafarshim asechet beitz shema yitaken kli shir. Because if you end up getting so excited and dancing, then you might pick up a violin and see it's a bit broken and fix up the string there, whatever, and get a bit carried away. Okay, we're not so makpid about these things. But he says all these things. Well, how come? He says, "V'lo kachazina and avdin." The Mishnah says, "Lo, you shouldn't do these things." And yet, we see them do it. We don't tell anybody to stop doing it. So Abaya said to him, according to you, Rabbi Baruch Hanan, Hadam Arava. We've got a Rava says like this. Right? Rava says like this. If you look at the Mishnah Shah sends us to, we learned not long ago, Kuf Mem Aleph, a couple of daf ago. He says, "Lo leitev enesh apuma delichya dilma min gadlei achayfes v'atlitum." And we said that a woman or a person shouldn't sit like at the edge of the Mavoy on Shabbos, next to where the Lechi is, because something might roll into Shabbos and they might end up going and collecting it. And yet he says, we saw Nashe Demot Vechatzve Vyatin Pubid Mavoy. We see women carry their barrels of water and they actually put them down there as they're about to walk home at the end of the Mavoy. They suddenly want to have a break and they put it down. Vlomin Lev, don't tell them anything. You know why? I'll tell you why. says, Ela Hanach Li Israel, we say, let rather Am Yisrael be. People don't know the halachas. Don't be a chochem and God tell them the halachas. Why? Mutav sheyehu shogegin v'lo yehu mezidin. Rather, a person should be over a mitzvah b'shogeg, unintentionally, and b'mezid. Now, what does it mean b'shogeg? They don't know. They know it's asur, so it's shogeg. But if they know it's asur and they do it anyhow, so they have b'mezid. Okay, there's a time and a place for that. All right? So he says to him, he thought that maybe it's only midrabanan, but not doraita. But we write law, v'lo here, not so. He says, even doraita, better a person should be over on something b'shogeg, over bin doraita. Exactly how this works out, I'm 100% sure, because obviously if a person wants to know the halachas, he wants to know the halachas, and you should teach him the halachas. Maybe talk about a person who anyhow you see them carrying their barrel that's very heavy, they're going to sit down, and they don't know it's usher to sit there. Don't run now and quickly tell them why they've got this 50 kilogram barrel on their shoulder. No, you can't. There's a mishnah. You can't let him sit there. And after he sat there and he gets up, he's walking up, goes, listen, you know, just by the way, what you were doing there, you shouldn't do in the future. I suppose that's probably the better way to do it. Now, he says, Velohi, Roshtam Rabban, Roshtam Edoraita. Taha Toseh, what's the proof of that? Taha Tosefet Yom HaKippurim, Doraita Hi. It says the mitzvah on Yom Kippur, there's a mitzvah of Tosefet Yom Kippur. If Yom Kippur is 25 hours long, you should always add a bit to Yom Kippur to make it a little bit longer, like we have Tosefet Shabbos. And yet, he says, Ukechazina lehu da'achlek te'achle v'shatu ad she'techshach. We see people eat right till the last minute. V'lo amrinan lehu v'lo minu. We never ever tell them to stop eating now, quit, stop eating. Okay, that's a little bit different, because today, the Beit Din printed, published all these, you know, the calendars, and they've got the times, and they've got Sof Zman Achila, so with us, we've been much more organized. But you're just going over the clock and you're looking outside, it's dark. So they weren't very makpid till the guy, listen, don't eat. He said, what do you want? It's still light. I still yesterday. I can still eat, right? We wouldn't worry too much about it. Okay. Now the Mishnah carries on and we said, the Bechain Isha Mechaverta. And a woman can borrow loaves of bread from her friends as well. And we saw there the Mishnah said, look in the Mishnah, said, the Bechain Kikarot Mechaverta. If they don't trust you, you can leave some sort of a deposit there so that they can be sure you're coming back to pay them for it. The Gemara says like this, but Shabbat who does it? From our Mishnah, we can be Dayek, and it's only Asher on Shabbos. It seems like this problem of borrowing loaves of bread, right? Or is the issue only on Shabbos, right? It's only on Shabbos. Look at Rashi, but Shabbat who does it? Lomar halvini mishum michtam, because they might come to rot. Right, but about b'chol shapira, during the week, not a problem. The Gemara gets a little bit sidetracked over here, and he's quite picky in this Mishnah. Look what Rashi says. This is a very important Rashi. He says v'b'chol shari v'lo chay shinan leribit, and we don't worry about ribit, about interest. Why is it ribit? Let's say I borrow from you, I don't know, a loaf of bread, and now I've got to give you back a loaf of bread. But loaf of bread now, when you borrowed it, then for the loaf of bread on Shabbos. So flour costs 10 shekels a kilo. And there are 2 kilos of flour in the bread. When I come to pay you back on Wednesday, the price of flour now is 12 shekels a kilo. I've got to give you 2 kilos of flour. So now it's costing me 24 shekels. So you can just give me the money and I'll go buy the flour. Don't worry. But I'll borrow 20 shekels from you. I'll give you back that 24 shekels. So now I've got an issue of ribbit. The problem of ribbit. Right? So it says, B'Shabbat Tudasu. Right, that's what the Gemara is saying. So the Gemara says like this. Therefore, Lema Matnitin appears here that the fact that we aren't worried about Ribbit, he says Lema Matnit like Hillel, because we got a Mishnah. Hillel says, "Itna mechana Hillel omer lo tilve isha ki kala chaverta." You can't lend a loaf of bread to your friend until you establish the price, until you've got a fixed price over there, right? Until you got a proper price, right? Why? Shema yukru chitin. Because what's going to happen over here is, right, that the flour might get more expensive. Benimtzau ba'otli deribit. So therefore, Hillel says, if you borrow bread from somebody, set a price now. I'm going to bring you back 2 loaves of bread. I'm going to give you back 20 shekels, and that's the deal. Don't leave it and wait and see what's going to happen, because prices fluctuate. You end up in a problem of ribbit. That's what Hillel says. And yet our Mishnah is not concerned about it all. Our Mishnah is just worrying about Shabbos, but not about during the week, which means we don't care about ribbit. Right? So I think it says, no, not necessarily.
Sorry to disturb. Is the price increasing considered ribbit, or is it just the price increasing and over and above that is ribbit?
No, I owe you now the money for two kilos of flour. So I borrowed the flour from you, and now you 2 kilos of flour, and I'm going to pay you more than it was worth today. So it's as if it's as if I'm paying you for the use of the money, and now you're going to go buy flour. There's an Indian year of ribbit. I agree with you, it's not 100% straightforward. That's why Hillel says, set the price. Hillel says, set the price. The bread that you borrowed now is worth 10 shekels. I'm going to give you back 10 shekels. Don't say I'm going to go and buy you the flour or give you back the flour. If the flour goes up, then it might be concern you in Indian of ribbit. That's what he's saying. It's a ribbit lechumra, right? It's not pashut ribbit. So he says, because you could end up with ribbit. So the Gemara says, no. Afilu tamei hilal, could even be hilal. Why? Ha ba'atru de ketz tamei, ha ba'atru de lo ketz tamei. It would depend if it was government controlled prices or not. If we know that the government controlled the prices, the prices weren't going to go up. So we haven't got a problem, then we wouldn't have to worry. If the prices were not controlled, then we'd have a problem. So even our Mishnah could live with that. So therefore, it would depend on the place where you are, and our Mishnah could fit in with Hillel as well. And now the Gemara carried on and said, "V'im eino ma'amino." So we saw that if you don't trust the guy, then you can bring a, you can leave a deposit. So itmar havot yom tov Rabbi Yosef Amar Loit Nalit Ba, Rabbi Amar Nit Nalit Ba. So the Machlokes Amoraim over here, loans that were made on Yom Tov like this, are they enforceable in court or not? Rabbi Yosef says no, you can't go to court with that loan. Rabbi says, "What are you talking about? Of course you can." Right, well, what are you talking about? So now, Rav Yosef Amar lo nitna li tava. He says you can't. Or adi Amar nitna li tava atel mikhtav. Because if they are enforceable, then a guy would write them down, and that's the problem which we don't want. We're scared if a guy writes them down, then why is he writing it down? So he's got proof when he comes to court. He says, look, I'm this guy wrote down the thing. He has a thing. So Rabbi says, Amar says it is nitna li tava. We don't worry about the writing. Why? Di Amar lo nitna lo yav leiv atlim nu and the simchat yom tov. A guy won't, if you can't enforce these loans, no one's going to lend anything on Yom Tov. Everyone's going to say, "Why is it? I'm not lending to you. You're mad." And the guy's going to be, he's got a bad reputation. Never pays his debts back. And they aren't enforceable. And no one's going to want to lend him anything. And the guy's going to know about Asim Chaz Yom Tov. He says, "Tanan, look, he quotes a Mishnah. Im eino ma'amino, meniach talito etz lo." So now the Gemara here brings this Mishnah here. There's a bit of a kasha here on Rabbah. Because it says, meniach talito. So Gemara says, "I amart bishlomel lo nitna li tava." If you hold like Rabbi Yosef, you said they aren't enforceable, so that we understand, mishum hachi meniach talito etz lo voseh mo cheshbon nachar Shabbat. That's why the guy has to leave a deposit, because he can't go to court; it's unenforceable. So that's why he insists on having some sort of mashkon. Ela I amart nitna li tava. If you said that it is enforceable in court, amai meniach talito etz lo. What do you need to worry about this deposit for? Litain la velit bay. Let him give it to him and doesn't pay, sue him. What's your problem? So Rabbi says, No. I'm a law by in a little bit in a day. That guy doesn't want to go to court. He said, "What do you know?" We all know over here in Israel. You know, anywhere in the world today, courts are long stories. There's a saying, you know how you come in, you don't know how you leave, right? So who knows? Why take your chance in court? There's no exterior, says Rabbi. It's still enforceable. The fact that the guy wants a guarantee, a mashkon, doesn't mean it's not enforceable. Just he says to himself, "What do I want the cop tray of going to court for? Rather leave your coat over here. That's why I know you're going to pay. If you don't pay, I've got a nice coat. But if you didn't pay, I'll still be able to enforce it in court." It was a Mativ Rav Idi Bar Avin, brings a bright idea on the same topic. Slightly different, but the same idea. So now a guy shechts his animal, and then Rosh Hashanah itself, he sells it out to everybody. He sells everybody the meat for their suda for Rosh Hashanah. Now there's a question. The question is like this. Today we have a set calendar. So for us, Rosh Hashanah is 2 days. It's Aleph Tishrei and Bet Tishrei. But a normal Rosh Chodesh, for example, which is a 2-day Rosh Chodesh or a 1-day Rosh Chodesh, if it's a 2-day Rosh Chodesh, the first day of Rosh Chodesh is always the last day of the previous month. You know that, right? So like Aleph Rosh Chodesh of the 2-day Rosh Chodesh is Lamed, the 30th day of the previous month. And then the second day of Rosh Chodesh is the first day of the new month. That's how it works. So now how would it work in the times of Chazal? They never had set calendars, so they'd wait for Adim to come. So now the guy thought that today was Rosh Hashanah. Okay? They think it's Rosh Hashanah according to the calendar, but the Adim haven't come yet. So they start keeping this first day as Rosh Hashanah. Now Adam could arrive and met Mekadesh today as Rosh Hashanah, everything's good and great. Or Adam could arrive and say, no, tomorrow's Rosh Hashanah. So there's Mekadesh the second. Now you started keeping the first Rosh Hashanah, think it was Rosh Hashanah. Adam arrives and actually tomorrow's Rosh Hashanah. They came tonight as we saw the moon tonight. So the second day turned to be Rosh Hashanah, and today what you kept as first Rosh Hashanah turned out to be the 30th day of Elul. Is that clear? You with me? Everybody clear? Mark? Right? So now, what's happened? If it's a Shemitah year, okay, so we know halacha, that there are two things happen in Shemitah. First, you aren't allowed to work the fields. But secondly, or not less importantly, debts that you have with a person are annulled. So if you owe me money, comes along the Shemitah, and I never signed a Prusbul. That was later on, he enacted a Prusbul. The same idea here, by the way. Like our buyer said, if you don't allow these loans on Yontif to be enforceable, people won't lend people money, and there'll be no Simchat Yontif. Hillel said, if you don't lend money to people, because in a Shemitah year, they'll know that it's going to be wiped out, then Ani'im won't be able to get loans. So to allow people to lend money without a doubt of losing their money, he created this mechanism where the Beit Din take the money, etc., with the principle. But bottom line is that at the end of, and we pass, because the Machlokelos and the Gemara, we'll see him Sachim when we get to it, when does the Shemitah Shomet, right, the loan? Does it wipe it at the beginning of the Shemitah year or at the end of the Shemitah year? And we pass in Halacha, and there's a bit of a complicated story there, but I think we say the end of, Rashi Avi Adis Asugya says the end of the Shemitah. So the 30th day of Elul, at the end of a Shemitah year, if you haven't signed a Prusbul and somebody owes you money, you say, goodbye. Okay? Now this Gemara is taking place in this Braita on the 30th day of Elul, which could be the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Right? That's what happens. The guy now is looking at the Gemara. Matif. Rav Inibar, I mean, Hashochet Rapare of the Chilka of Rosh Hashanah. And you sold the stuff for Rosh Hashanah. Now, Imaya Chodesh Me'ubar Meshamet. Vimlav Eilu Meshamet. If it turns out, so now you sent the guy, the Gerashi mentions it over here. He says, where's the loan over here? You lent the money. He says, Bahakafa. Rashi, basically, you sold it to the guys on credit. Can't see it now. Ashuchet Aparav Echil Kabosh Hashanah. Shomot Hashvit. Lelokhim Ubahakafa. You sold them on credit. Right? Vekaimelan Shvit Beshametet Besofa Dichtiv Mikates. And Rashi's passing Aloch Avia. He says, in that machloket over there, we say that Mikates, at the end of the Shemitah, that's when the loans are undone. So it was a chodesh, look at Rashi, Elul Me'ubar, 2-day Elul, like a 30-day Elul. Va'asu Rosh Hashanah Shlei Yamim, and therefore they made Rosh Hashanah 2 days, right? The 30th. Emash Meshameit Yom Tov Rishon Shel Sof Shvit Haya. V'nimtzeit Zu Havaat Shvit. V'im Lav Havirei Havaat Motzei Shvit Va'enu Meshameit. So the question is as follows. If it turns out that they were Ma'aber in the end, Elul, and they said Elul's got 30 days, Rosh Hashanah is actually tomorrow, so if you thought it was Rosh Hashanah today and we sold it to you today, turns out that when did I sell you the food on credit? On Elul. So was the Elul loan still part of the Shemitah year? That comes tomorrow as Rosh Hashanah, Elul's always gone. If on the other hand, it turns out that Elul wasn't 30 days, it was 29 days, and today was proper Rosh Hashanah, so when I sold you the meat, it was for the new year, Elul was yesterday. So now this is not part of Shemitah and therefore the loan won't be wiped out. Okay? You got it. Right? Everybody with me? So now the Gemara says like this. So now, if you say now, this is like to support Rabba. If you say that the loans are not enforceable by law, so what do we mean in the Mishnah when we say, Meshamet, that this loan is wiped out? Why do I need the Mishnah to tell me it's wiped out if you aren't able to enforce this loan which was done on Yontif? You with me? Because according to the non-enforceables, if the non-enforceable was never a loan, it was a gift. So why did the Mishnah tell me that it was Meshamet? It was Meshamet anyhow. If I didn't pay you back, nothing you could do about it. Rashi says it over here, right? If you don't know how to have my Meshamet, hoyil v'ein beitin iska kinder kofor. Since beitin can't do anything, shemutahi v'omet, it's as if it's already wiped out. So he says, no, shani hatam de'igle milta de'choluvin. And turned out over there, actually it was chol. It wasn't yontif. Right? In that case over there, when did we, the fact that we turned it down, wasn't Rosh Hashanah. So it wasn't a loan on Yontif. It's Yontif loans that are a problem. Right? It was a weekday loan. It was a 30th of Elul. And therefore, we need the Mishnah to tell us that it was Elul, and therefore the loans were wiped out because it was of Elul. Toshma mi sefer, the Gemara said we consider in the sefer. Im lav enu meshamek. Right? If it wasn't, right, ubar, it wouldn't be meshamek, it would be yontif. Right? Yeah, my pishtom and nitel tavai, we said that it would be, that it can be claimed, hainu diktani, enu meshamek. That's why it's not meshamek. What's not meshamek? Right? So the Gemara says the either, but there is still a bit of a difference over here, because nonetheless, it's the iyaivle. Right? Shakil. Right, if the guy gives him back the money, he can take it. Right, the Gemara says, "Michlal deresha iyayv lelo shakil," but it seems he can't take it. The Gemara says, "No, resha tzuchlemei marlei meshamet ani seifel tzuchlemei lo meshamet ani." It would depend if it's a shmita year. Right, then there's an issue of davar. Right, it's because mishum shneimar v'ze davar shmita. If it's not a shmita year, and it's and the loan is still not enforceable, but the guy wants to pay you back, and if you can take it. If it's a Shemitah year and the guy wants to pay you back, then you've got to still say to him, you've got to quote, "Bazeh davar haShemitah shamot." Because Rashi says, yeah, it's still bedavar. Right? If you look at Rashi, yeah, it says, "Davar haShemitah, afilu mekabel, chovo yaskir lo Shemitah bedibro." You still got to mention this idea of Shemitah. Even if in the end you accept the loan, even though you shouldn't have, but you accept it, you still got to mention that Shemitah was really wiped out and the guy never had to pay you back, but don't worry. He says, "Oh, I want to pay back, but no, you never had to," etc., etc., etc. Okay, so now we carry on. Rav Avia Shakil Mashkona. Right, so now Rav Avia would take a Mashkon, says Rashi. I mean, the Gemara, look at Rashi Avia. V'sha'at halva'ah mehalvat yom, he would take a Mashkon, take a guarantee. Rabbi Bar Ula ma'arim iarumi. But Rabbi Bar Ula, he used to do acha yom tov lokech menu shum chayfet shum akvo. He wouldn't do anything on Yontif, but he'd come off the Yontif and grab a chayfet from you and hold it until you paid him. Okay, so each Amora had his way of doing things, but when we see that they did take guarantees, which I would imagine would improve more that it wasn't really enforceable, right? But I can't get it. Okay, gross. Now, Erev Pesach. So I'm going to do Erev Pesach now. Now we come into a different problem with Erev Pesach, because on Erev Pesach, right, if it's Shabbos, so we've got a question. We're going to see just now that you aren't in theory out of maktish things on Shabbos. You can't maktish something on Shabbos. Remember, it says like Amar Yochanan, "Magdish Adam Pischo b'Shabbat." Rabbi Yochanan says that you can magdish your Pesach on Shabbos. In other words, your Pesach is Pesach Motzei Shabbos, and the Chagiga on Yom Tov. Right? The Rashi says there, "Imchal Yudalet b'Shabbat." Right? So if Yudalet, the 14th, is on Shabbos, with Pesach tonight, you can makdish your korban today and chagigato be yontov, but yom hakravato mutar lagdish. The day you're going to bring it to you on the chagiga for yontov, you can bring it. Afagadit nan elu hein mishum shvut ein makdishin, right? Hane kevan da hakravatan dochek dushatan doche. We'll see just now in a second what you're talking about. So once now, perhaps name a messiah, maybe our mishnah can be a help, yeah, support Rabbi Yochanan, because the mishnah says v'chein erev Pesach b'Yerushalayim shchalio b'Shabbat v'niach leitu etzlo v'notel epischo. The Mishnah says straight out that if Erev Pesach happens to be on a Shabbos, you can go and take your buy a korban from the guy, leave a guarantee, there's some sort of deposit, and come back after and sort things out with him. So maybe that's the proof, Rabbi Yochanan. If you buy it today, you can magnish it today because you got to dedicate it before you shecht it. So he says, no, that doesn't work. Hachemas can only talk about manei achem imu al apischo. That what our Mishnah is speaking about, he says, is b'manei achem. Says, no. What our Mishnah is saying when it says Magdishan Pischo b'Shabbat, Achikto b'Yom Tov, our Mishnah says, Meniach Naima Messiah, V'chein Erev Pesach U'Shlaim Shechal b'Shabbos, Meniach Talito Eslo V'Notel Pischo V'Oseh Imo Cheshbon. What are we speaking about over here? B'Medrim Amurim says we're speaking over here not about actually going and being Makdish. He says, B'Maneh Achem Imo Al Pischo, other guys are joining you. And what's happening? Guys that are joining you aren't joining you for free. People are joining you and they're going to pay towards the korban. So let's say that you bought a sheep and that sheep cost 1,000 shekels and there are 10 guys joining. Each one pays 100 shekels. Now a guy comes on Shabbos, Erev Pesach, he hasn't got a korban Pesach, he wants to join your group. So he says, now listen, but that guy's look, I don't know, but how are you going to pay me? You're going to shech the korban, eat the korban, and tomorrow I'm going to start chasing you for money. He says, no problem, he has my jacket, keep my jacket. But you already had your korban. That's what we speak. It doesn't really actually help us with Rabbi Yochanan. The Mi'ikara Mikdash Ka was already there. What are you talking about? The Mishnah says straight out, You aren't allowed to do this. Join up guys on a group on Yom Tov. He says, no, Shani Yachad came into Ragilets Law command, even obey me, Karadam. He says, no, you're right. But this person that he was speaking to is a guy who every year does Korban Pesach with him. So he's always, he knew that he was really going to be part of him before, just he hadn't actually done the deal before. He says, but Baha Tani Rabbi Hoshai, Rabbi Hoshai say, Holecha Dametro Ea Ragilets Law. So he says, but what's your problem? I understand. Why you got a problem with all of this? We see in Rabbi Hoshea says that a guy can go to a shepherd and buy a goat on Shabbos. So he says, Hatam Nami came and dragged his little kutcher, only because he's used to him. Right? So therefore, Abdusha Mikdash Day Mikra was if the shepherd already prepared for him in advance. So I don't understand. Baha Magdish, the Pasuk, the Bible says, Magdish. You can Magdish Ketani. So he says, yeah, Hegdish Ilumid Rabbana. Really, it was Hegdish, but you want to like. Ingratiate the halacha. I'm not 100% sure exactly what he's speaking about here. He says, Ilu ma'aleh ba'al meshiyagdishu ba'alim. And all the owners now say, well, in Magdish, actually was already Magdish beforehand, but all the owners say, you know what, let's Magdish. It was already Magdish. He actually like Magdish means something that was already Magdish. So there we see over here that the Umi Am Rabbi Yochanan, now the Gemara actually now we're trying to find a proof from our Mishnah of Rabbi Yochanan, and we couldn't really find a proof. So the Gemara always says, did Rabbi Yochanan already say that in the first place? Vaha Amar Rabbi Yochanan, did you really say that? Vaha Amar Rabbi Yochanan lachakas Stam Mishnah. We've seen this before, by the way. Recently, Rabbi Yochanan said, lach Stam Mishnah. And the Stam Mishnah, our Mishnah seems to say that the Mishnah says over here, lo magdishin, velo marichin, velo marchin, velo magbin, trumot masot. Kolel b'yom tov, amru kalachom b'shabas. You can't do any of these things. You can't do magdish, like dedicate an animal. Velo marichin, you can't assess it. Velo machrimin, you can't do achramat, but it's also like separate things. V'lo magbin trumot, you can't do truma maaser. And that's all about yontif. So how much more so Shabbos? How can you say you could magdish? They said, no, lo kasha. Kan b'chovot she'kavu lahen zman, kan b'chovot she'ein kavu lahen zman. It would depend. When that Mishnah said that you can't do things, that's like if you're making a neder or an adava, but you're going to bring your korban, but I mean that's like in the next 12 months or the next 3 regalim. But if it's something which is magmubaba's man, like today is Shabbos and tonight's Pesach, so there, you can definitely magdish even Rabbi Yochanan, even the Mishnah would allow it. Rabbi Yochanan definitely would support it. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan is speaking about, as opposed to our Mishnah. Okay, let's end off over here.